Today's Survivor Exit interview is sponsored by NatureBox. NatureBox ships great tasting, wholesome snacks right to your door. Forget the vending machine. Start snacking smarter with wholesome, delicious treats like dark cocoa almonds. Support the podcast by ordering a free NatureBox sampler box at naturebox.com/RHAP. That's right. Free NatureBox snacks are found at naturebox.com/RHAP. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino here, and I am back with our latest Survivor San Juan del Sur exit interview as we are kicking off a huge week of Survivor podcasts here on Rob as a Podcast. Of course, today, here's what you're in for, our interview with Wes Nail, the latest player voted out of Survivor San Juan del Sur. And it's only Monday, but we've got a lot more coming later on tonight. And I'll have this up for you guys by Tuesday morning. We're going to have a bonus Cody cast for you guys. Now, this goes in addition to I took your voicemails on the last Survivor podcast and I did those on Sunday. So that is up for you guys currently on robhasawebsite.com. I also talked about the last episode with Richard Hatch. That's up on the website too. Plus our Survivor Know-It-Alls from this past Wednesday night. Now, again, continuing to look forward, we have a two-hour Survivor episode coming up on Wednesday night. So it's two episodes back-to-back, and that means Survivor Know-It-Alls is going to be pushed back 1 hour. So it'll probably be a supersized, unless Steven has to go to bed, it'll be a supersized Know-It-Alls in addition to cover the two episodes of Survivor that we're going to see on Wednesday night, followed by two exit interviews on Thursday. And then it's time for the Tyson cast, which is already a long podcast episode. Tyson said we might have to go 6 hours to cover the double episode on Wednesday. So much going on in the Survivor podcasting here coming up this week on Rob Has a Podcast. Just a couple of quick things before I get to the exit interview. Of course, today is Monday the 1st. It's the Monday after Thanksgiving. That's Cyber Monday, as the kids are calling it. And that's the best day for all of the online shopping. Amazon has turned that Cyber Monday into Cyber Monday Deals Week. So all week long, you could check out all of the great deals going on Amazon.com. Lots of different markdowns, lots of different gold box stuff. They put stuff on sale for a couple of hours, then they take it away. So it's a little bit of hunting for all of the best stuff, but they keep, you know, giving you more and more different things that are on sale. So if you want to check that out all week long and help support the podcast in the process, we greatly appreciate it. You can use our link, robhasawebsite.com/Amazon, or in Canada, robhasawebsite.com/Amazon CA. Also, if you click on the links in the sidebar, you'll go right to the Amazon Cyber Monday Deals Week page. Also, if you are interested in the CBS All Access app, where you can go back and watch all of the seasons of Survivor, Amazing Race, Big Brother, they've got them all. You can watch them on your iPad or iPhone or on your computer. If you want to check that out, they are having a special sale that ends the end of tonight, end of Monday night. They'll give you a month for free to check it out. Use the promo code THANKS, and you can use our affiliate link, which is at robhasawebsite.com/CBS app, or click on the banner in the sidebar of robhasawebsite.com. All right, let's get into our interview with Wes. I see that we have him on the line. Let's go ahead and patch him in. Wes, how are you?
All right.
Wes, oh my God. Wes, do you remember that time that you were on Survivor and had a taco overload? That was awesome.
Taco overload.
It happened.
Yeah, I remember that quite good.
All right. Wes, I'm very excited to talk with you here today. Crazy episode of Survivor the other night. And I'm sure there was a lot to talk about at Thanksgiving at the Nail House on Thursday.
Oh, it was so much to talk about.
How much food do they have to make at the Nail House when you're sitting down for Thanksgiving?
Oh, they make a lot more than I'd say most families.
I would think so.
That's true.
All right. So going back to that tribal council, such a crazy moment when your dad yelled out or said to Reed, hey, why don't we stick to the plan, and ends up tipping off everybody. Did you realize in that moment just how bad that was going to turn out once he said stick to the plan?
Oh, yeah, definitely. He he said, stick with the plan. And Reed and Alec and me told him, don't panic. Just go with the flow. It's going to be okay. Don't get nervous. Don't get scared or anything. And he said for a split second, he got nervous, like they weren't going to finish up with the plan. And, he blurted it out. And after he said that, I knew it was going to be downhill for one of us after that.
Yeah. Wes, what do you think of the accusation that Jacqueline's made at you and your dad, that you guys basically ignored her when John was at Exile Island? Was that fair, or is she coming up with something that's not true?
She's definitely coming up with something that's not true, because I don't recall her at all coming up to me or Alec or Keith to talk about strategy one time during the whole game. So I could have made the same thing of saying, oh, well, Jacqueline's never talked to me before, because she's always in the shelter laying down doing nothing. So that definitely could have worked both ways, because she never talked strategy with anybody either. So big deal if I don't talk with you. John will talk strategy with me, so I could talk to John. John will go tell you what he's thinking, and you'll do whatever he says. So that's how that went.
Now, it seemed like John and Jacqueline, and Jacqueline especially, seemed to hold a grudge against you and your dad, but Alec really seemed to get off scot-free. They seemed to be very happy with Alec after all that happened. How come it was just you two guys that they were mad at?
Probably because I assume that we're still in a pair. And them saying, hey, we can get Wes and Keith because they're together, and they probably, you know, everybody's going to think we act the same and do the same stuff. So I think that would be easier than saying, it makes a better argument and statement saying Wes and Keith did it instead of just Alec doing it. So, wow.
So when you guys came into the merge, there were a couple of pairs that were still in the game. There was Missy and Baylor and John and Jacqueline. And you guys were there also with Reed and Josh. Now, did you guys ever consider going with the Missy and Baylor and John and Jacqueline group and coming up with sort of an all pairs grouping and try to take out the singles?
Yeah, we did at first, you know, going with pairs. We could have taken out all singles, and we could have drug Josh and Reed along too. It would have been eight of us, and easily could have made it to the top eight. But as soon as we got there, Dad's telling me he doesn't trust John at all. He hasn't trusted him since day one, and he's been lying to his face since day one. So he just didn't feel comfortable switching when I told him that me, Josh, and Alec had a real tight alliance. And hey, I said, man, it'd be good for us to go with them right now and try to turn one group maybe. And we couldn't turn a group at all. So that was our downfall.
How tight were you with Alec throughout the game? It seemed like you guys were working together from the start of the game.
Oh, yeah. It was me and Alec were boys from day one. About 2 hours in the game, me and him took off walking, and he said, you know, me and you can run it. And I said, hey, I'll stick with you. Stick with me. No BS. No nothing from here on out. We'll tell each other everything, and we'll let it. I mean, and Alec knew we. I told him that we had an idol, and he was the only person he knew. And from day one, me and him were tight.
So I'm interested to know, when you come into the game with your dad, like, are you guys talking about it coming in like, hey, it doesn't matter which one of us wins the game. You know, it's just one of us has to come home with this $1 million, and whoever is the winner is the winner. Or are you guys playing it more like it's every man for himself out there?
It was kind of both. I mean, of course, both of us wanted to win it, and we were saying, hey, I'm going to beat you regardless of what happens. And he said, no, there's not a chance in hell you'll ever beat me. And, but then again, we talked about it. He's like, man, how much could we do if we won $1 million? He's like, man, it worked out great for both of us, saying, you know, we get in the game and we merge, and, we're saying, hey, one of us just has to win that baby. It, since both of us have a shot at it now, it's, yeah, I want to beat you, even if it came down to the final two, but if it doesn't, we need somebody to win. So whoever's a better man for the job will get farther and hopefully win it.
Did you guys have a conversation about using the hidden immunity idol before tribal council?
Oh yeah. We talked about it, saying if John happened to play his idol, that's what we were hoping. We'd make him feel safe and secure and not play it. Cause I told everybody he had it after coming back from exile, and I had two extra clues and I saw the spot where it was dug up. So John's got an idol. No one wanted to make a move on that. I told Reed said, this is what we're going to do. Then he going to make us feel like we're going home. John will feel safe. He won't play it. Bam, we get John out. Well, that was all going to happen. I don't even know what the question was now. I think I'm straying away from the question.
That's fine. By the way, I thought that was a good plan that you guys came up with to get John out. If it wasn't for stick to the plan, it would have worked. We'd be talking about what a great move that was.
Yeah, that's exactly right, too. It'd have been a great move. It'd have been a power play. It'd have been a big shift in momentum, and we got the short end of the shaft.
All right. So did you and your dad, we saw the scene where you guys were talking about, he says, you know, somebody went through my bag. They know I have the idol. Did you guys know it was Reed when you were out there?
Yeah. Natalie was coming up to me and somebody told Alec, and Alec came up to me and said, hey, Reed went through your bag. He's telling everybody your dad's got an idol. So of course we found out it was Reed. That's why me, Keith, and Alec, they all voted for Reed when Jeremy went home, because everybody, we said, you know, everybody's been wanting Reed out. Let's get Reed out. He went to my dad's bag. We don't trust him no more. And so me, Alec, and Reed, or Keith, all put votes down for Reed. And then he came up with a plan to get Jeremy out, and that plan worked. So props to Reed right there.
It seems like that there is a little bit of a rivalry to me between Reed and Natalie. When you were on the new Hoyopa with those two, did you see any of that? Is there tension between those two people?
Yeah, it definitely was. I felt like it was more tension between Reed and Jeremy, though, because Jeremy figured that Reed was always lying, and he was always trying to connive and talk his way into something, and I saw that happening a little, and then Natalie was with Jeremy, so of course Natalie's going to chime in too a little bit and say about it, but yeah, it was a little bit of rivalry right there.
Now, when you watch the season play out from being on TV, going back to that episode where John Rocker gets voted out, do you look back at that as a point and saying, boy, I wish we didn't vote out John Rocker that day. I wish we would have voted out either Jacqueline or Baylor.
Oh, definitely. Definitely wish that happened, because I felt like Rocker wouldn't have made it too far, farther than them two. So I definitely feel like that would have worked out. We've been trying to get Baylor out forever.
Yeah.
She keeps hanging around. Definitely feel like if we would have got one of them out, it'd have been a whole different game too. So yeah, I kind of regret that decision in one way, but glad it wasn't me.
Yeah, I'm surprised that you guys did that, because I understand why the girls did it, and I kind of understood why Josh did it at the time. But for you and Alec, I never quite understood why you guys went along with the plan to vote out Rocker.
Oh, man, I felt like Rocker was trying to get to the merge type and just make it to the merge. I felt like he would have flip-flopped easily. Me and Alec talked about it without Josh saying, we both felt like Rocker would have definitely flipped if somebody was like, hey, this is a better option for you. Even though you have this alliance, you have the numbers. If you get flopped with our alliance, you know, I felt like he would have went in a heartbeat. So that's why we ended up making the call.
It seemed like you and your dad were very frustrated, too, with Baylor, especially after the merge, and you voiced some of those concerns to Missy at various times during the game. Can you just talk about, you know, what Baylor has been doing out there?
Yeah, she was lazy. She was one of the laziest people out there. She'd be first in line for rice and go get two sticks of firewood. That was about all she did a day.
Yeah.
And I just felt like she was lazy and didn't contribute to nothing. She was horrible in challenges, and the only person she could beat was her mom, and that's the only person she ever went against. So it made it look like she was winning. So I don't know. I just felt like she shouldn't be there still right now.
Okay. What I want to know is I watched this secret scene and I saw when you came out of the game that you lost 20 pounds. Okay. And so you got down from like what, 180 to 160. And then you went one night at the Ponderosa and you gained 10 pounds in one night. How did you do that?
You know, I was eating Rice Krispies with peanut butter and Nutella and Fruit Loops on it. And I was eating, my schedule was so messed up. I got to Ponderosa and I didn't know I was 2:30 and I hadn't stopped eating yet. And I was baking cookies and eating ice cream and actually everything that was edible I was eating. And he said, old Doc said, that's the fastest he's ever seen somebody gain 11 pounds, about a half pound an hour. But that was a record that he saw.
Wow. And last question. How did you and your dad end up on Survivor? How did you guys go from being at the fire station to being on Survivor?
I sent in a video in 2010 and they called me and said, why didn't you ever send another video in? I said, well, I never heard from y'all. They said, we loved your video. We kept it on file. Would you like to play? I was like, yeah, of course. She's like, well, we're doing a blood versus water show. Would you like to play with anybody? I said, yeah, I'd like to play with my dad. They said, we'll send the video in 2 days. If my bosses like it, we're going to fly out to LA for the finals. They called me. They said, my bosses loved it. There's going to be a couple teams here you're going to compete against and all the interviews. We get to LA, we do our thing, and they call us and they say, hey, y'all made it. Y'all are on. And that's history.
Wow. That's great. Wes, thank you so much for coming on with me. If we ever get around to it, I know a guy who wants to challenge you for the McNugget eating championship. So maybe one day if we ever get around to it, I know a guy who thinks he can take you on.
All right, I'm in.
All right, take care. Have a good one, okay? All right, everybody, there you have it. That was the great Wes Nail on Rob as a Podcast. Nailed it. All right, so let's go ahead and switch gears as we like to do every week on our Exit Interview podcast. We bring in this guy who's going to take us in the Survivor time machine. Here he is with all of the facts of the Survivor seasons gone by. It's Mr. Jordan with the historical dish, Kalish.
Hey, Rob, how's it going? How was your Thanksgiving?
Oh, it was great Thanksgiving. Great Thanksgiving. How was yours, Jordan?
A lot of fun, a lot of turkey. It was turkey overload.
Turkey overload. Hashtag turkey overload. All right. So before we get to this week in Survivor history, I want to take a moment and thank our sponsors for this episode of Rob as a Podcast. And those are our friends over at NatureBox, because they've got two words for you, Jordan. Those two words are free snacks. They're giving you the chance to get free snacks. So don't be like John Mish and go after the candy bar and yell, sugar! And put down the potato chips because they're not good for you. Do what I do. Get wholesome, delicious snacks at naturebox.com. That's the only way I would step down from one of these immunity challenges. If somebody came across with some peanut butter nom noms, baked sweet potato fries, or dark cocoa almonds, then yes, I'd be right. I'd be jumping right off the thing.
Yeah, and when Probst was naked on Two and a Half Men, he had the he had Nature Box, right?
That's no,
the
that no, that was something unhealthy. That was bacon, lots of grease and bacon, not healthy. Because Nature Box gives us delicious snacks, and I don't have to feel guilty about eating them because they're better for me. They've got zero artificial flavors, colors, sweeteners, and 0 grams of trans fat, and no high fructose corn syrup, and no sugar added, and especially no gluten. They're so good, and they're much better for you than the other snack options out there, like wings and pizza and chocolate chip cookies, all that sort of stuff that's just going to make you feel gross when you're playing Survivor. So now we'll give you the chance to get your Nature Box for free with a free trial box featuring five of the most popular snacks. Top five, baby. You heard me. Free snacks. Start your free trial. Go to naturebox.com/RHAP. Stay full. Stay strong. Do what I do and start snacking smarter. Go to naturebox.com/RHAP and get a free trial box of delicious snacks, and you'll be thanking me later. All right. You think Reed is doing splits like he does, eating all sorts of gluten?
No way. No way.
No way. No way. No how. All right, Jordan, let's talk about what happened. Now, this isn't this week. We're actually talking about last week in Survivor history because we didn't do the exit interview on our normal day.
Yes. Yeah, so this is last week in Survivor history. We're going to go first to Survivor Pearl Islands. And this is an episode from November 26, 2013. And this is one of the most historic, one of the most memorable moments in Survivor history. And this is, of course, the Johnny Fairplay dead grandma lie. When we started doing This Week in Survivor History last year, I was really, really looking forward to getting to this one, because I think even to this day, we're 29 seasons in, one of the biggest lies, one of the biggest moments, and we're going to talk about it today.
All right, this week or last week in 2003?
Yes, 2003. Did I say? I think I said 2013. I meant 2003. This was 11 years ago.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, Johnny Fairplay is still telling the dead grandma lie.
That's true. It's still 2003 to Johnny Fairplay.
Yes, fantastic moment. Some people have said the best moment in Survivor history.
You know what? It's definitely up there for me. It is not necessarily one of the greatest strategic moves or even, game wise. I don't know. I mean, it we'll talk about what it accomplished game wise towards the end. But just the fact that this was something he planned before the game with his friend Thunder D, that he was going to come out. He was going to, when Johnny Fairplay asked about his grandma, he was going to say, of course, the famous line, "She died, dude."
You think that was the rehearsed line? You think that that's what they came up with? It seemed like, because I recently rewatched it. When Thunder D comes out, it's like, Johnny Fairplay's like, "Hey, where's grandma?" And he's just like, "She died." Like, it's like almost like Thunder D comes out and he's like dancing. And it's like, he forgot, I think, almost that he was there to tell the lie.
That's true. Fairplay did have to remind him a little
like,
bit.
Hey, but, about the dead grandma thing?
Did that seem odd to you when you were watching the episode, or were you fooled like everyone else?
See, I watched it after I already knew what it was because I was on the pre-jury trip for Survivor All-Stars. And so I had come back and I had heard about it and then I saw the clip. So I already knew what it was.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, I didn't think of that. I mean, since I've watched it back, I've kind of watched their interaction knowing that it was a lie. And you could tell when Fairplay's crying, he's kind of smiling a little bit with his back to the group. But no, this really tricked me. I don't think there's anyone I've ever spoken to about this who thought that Fairplay was lying, except for Sandra, who is obviously great at reading people, having won Survivor twice. So this was before an immunity challenge where they had to answer questions about their loved ones. And the, if you get a question right, you get to make somebody, one of the other people's loved ones, step closer to the water. They were standing on planks. And
of course,
this kept with the pirate theme of Survivor, of Pearl Islands. Lil was very mad at Sandra when she made Fairplay's friend Thunder D stepped toward the water because she said, "Oh, it's his grandma. How could you do this?" And people really bought into Fairplay's lie, except for Sandra. And Fairplay, it worked. He ended up winning the challenge. He got to spend some time on the Balboa camp with Thunder D. And this is, this is after the commercial break. They're kind of like two movie villains almost talking about this great lie that they pulled off. And, they call it a brilliant performance. And this is when everyone watching realizes that that Fairplay didn't only lie to the people in his tribe. He lied to us. And he really, really did a great job.
Yeah, Lil took it very hard.
Oh, yeah. She She's Lil, I think she's an emotional wreck, so I'm not surprised. Yeah.
So I'm interested to hear what you think was the big strategic gain out of it. I know that from an entertainment point of view, it was huge for Johnny Fairplay and really like put him on the map of the, you know, superstar bad guy of Survivor. But what did you feel like was the big upside of this for him?
So Johnny Fairplay was actually able to use this. And this is, I believe it was the next episode where Krista was voted out. He was able to use this to convince Krista that he was with him. He was able to actually swear on his dead grandmother. Of course, he didn't feel bad swearing on his dead grandmother because his grandmother was actually alive watching Jerry Springer. So he was able to use this to build trust throughout his tribe and swear on a loved one. And of course, this is a move that that other people have used, but they were actually swearing on the lives of actual or on the memories of actual dead loved ones. So I think that he was able to kind of use this since it was, everyone on his tribe had sort of felt the fact that he had lost his grandmother because they thought that they were hearing it for the first time with him. So it was more, it was definitely more of a entertainment move than a strategy move. But I think he was able to kind of milk it in the next episode and use it sort of for strategy.
Yeah, I think Chris is also like, yeah, he said he swore on his grandma. He wouldn't lie about that.
No, it was really great. I mean, Fairplay, really great player, and he's I think probably most remembered for this. So Fairplay actually called it the dirtiest thing ever done in the game, and this is seven seasons in. Would you consider this the most dirty thing ever done in the history of Survivor?
Yeah, probably. I mean, that's probably a fair thing to say. I'd really have to go ahead and go through the list and see what comes up with it. But, this is something that was like just totally out of the game and cartoon villain-esque to do it. So I'm not going to dispute that.
Yeah, I would agree too. I think Fairplay pulled off the dirtiest move ever, and dirty in a way that was so great that, I mean, I can't blame him for pulling it off. I think that's just Fairplay.
Yeah, I might say the Dreams car thing might be the actual dirtiest thing.
But that had more strategy behind it than the Fairplay thing.
All right, we'll talk about that. All right, so Jordan, anything else from last week in Survivor history?
We have Survivor China, and this is November 29th, 2007, last week in Survivor history. This is where James Clement went home with two hidden immunity idols in his pocket at the final seven. And if you know the rules of the hidden immunity idols in Survivor, you can only use these up until the final five. So there are three more councils where he could use the idol. And he had two idols. So instead of using one here, where there was a good chance of him going home, even though, of course, he thought he was tight with Todd and Amanda, he goes home with two idols in his pocket, and he calls it in his final words, the dumbest move ever. And Rob, who do you give? Do you give Todd the most credit for this? Right, for keeping James confident that he wasn't going home that night?
You know, it's been a long time since I've rewatched Survivor China or watched Survivor China. So I will have to say that I will plead the fifth on this one. I have to do a rewatch and I will get back to you on that question.
Yeah, I mean, I think he did a fantastic job with this. One of the reasons he won the game.
All right. Well, great job again, Jordan. We'll be back with you on this upcoming Thursday. We've got a double exit interview coming up next week.
Ooh, so there'll be two survivors and one Kalish.
Yeah, that's right. All right. So, Jordan, thank you as always. Follow Jordan on Twitter. He's at Jordan Kalish on Twitter.
Yep, at Jordan Kalish.
Yep. Is it? Well, which is it? I want to make sure that people spell it correctly on Twitter. Yeah.
It is Jordan Kalish, spelled like Jordan Kalish.
Okay. All right, Jordan, thank you so much, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Love you, bae.
All right. Love you, bae.
Love you, bae.
Take care. Bye.
See ya.
All right, everybody, there you have it. That was This Week in Survivor History. All right, I told you all the shows that are coming up this week. I'm very excited. We're going to get to the Cody cast later on Monday night. So if you've got questions for the Codys, go ahead and patch them in on our either our voicemail inbox at robiswebsite.com/voicemail or 323-282-RHAP. I'll get a question thread up on our Facebook page as well at facebook.com/robhasapodcast. Also, just make sure you subscribe to Rob as a Podcast because we've got so much stuff coming up. I'm very excited about all the shows that we're doing, and it's going to be a huge month here in December. So very excited to be getting into all of this with you guys. robhasawebsite.com/iTunes, and we've got so much fun stuff. Can't wait to get into it. Have a great week, everybody, and we'll talk to you again soon. Bye. Now that the show's over, don't forget to go to naturebox.com and sign up to get your free sampler box of great-tasting, wholesome snacks. Forget the vending machine. Start snacking smarter with delicious treats like barbecue kettle kernels. Go to naturebox.com/RHAP. That's naturebox.com/RHAP.